The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, he's held his hands up. He broke his silence yesterday on the controversy that's been rumbling on for weeks. But does Robert Troy's willingness to answer questions when the Dáil reconvenes excuse his failure to declare all his property interests? To get into this, I'm joined now by Joint Leader of the Social Democrats and TD for Dublin North West, Roisin Shortall, and News Talk's political correspondent, Sean Defoe. And Sean, this has been rumbling on for quite some time at this stage, with revelation after revelation culminating in yesterday's mea culpa, I suppose, from the minister. Can you remind us of what the issues are underpinning all of this?
Well, they're quite varied because we've gotten quite a few over the last 2 weeks, and it's 2 weeks today actually since the Ditch website published the first story about this, which was revealing essentially that Robert Troy hadn't declared a property on that register of interest which he had bought and then sold just 3 months later to the council for double the price that he bought it for. So that was one of the elements of it. And basically, over time, there's been huge questions over basically his property holdings and how he has been declaring them. It seems that Robert Troy is quite a large landlord. He revealed yesterday for the first time that in total he has an interest in 11 properties, 9 of which are rental properties, and that five of those are rented under the housing assistance payment scheme, which doesn't need to be declared under the current rules for that SIPO declaration. So we only learned about them for the first time. He has had other properties which are under the rental assistance accommodation scheme, which is, again, money that is paid for the council's two landlords, and that two of those hadn't properly been declared at different times. So there's a lot of different sort of aspects of this, Anton, that they're coming back to bite him. Another one that has got him in hot water is his former home, which he lived in, his former primary residence, which he rented out last November, yet didn't register with the Residential Tenancies Board until this August. And it is actually an offence, according to the law. After, if you don't register that within a month of it being a rental property, you can pay a late fee on that to sort of clear your name, if you like. And he has done that. And the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, says he doesn't believe any law was brought in, him being the person who, of course, wrote this law in the first place. And now it's sort of the drip feed of all this different information, of all these different properties and interests that he has and things that weren't declared properly, that has led up to this point and led him to be under serious pressure within Fianna Fáil. And indeed, we're getting more this morning. Robert Troy very much trying to put a line under this with his interview with Brian Dobson yesterday. And as part of that, he told Brian Dobson that all of his apartments and all of his properties are fully compliant with regulations, including fire regulations. But we learn on the front page of the Irish Independent with the story from Hugh O'Connell today that one of the properties that is co-owned by Robert Troy is being probed for breaching planning laws, and that the Dublin property has been previously investigated for unauthorised construction of a fire escape stairs at the back. So again, more information where he tried to draw the line, and this sort of drip, drip, drip towards a potential Dáil statement in more than 3 weeks' time, you think is going to catch up with him.
Now, there's obviously, as you say, there are a number of issues around this and some suggested conflicts of interest in relation to what he said in the Dáil and topics on which he chose to speak, and we will get to that in a minute. But can you explain what his excuse was? Because my understanding is that TDs effectively have a form wherein it says, tell us what properties you've owned this year. He had interests in 11 and mentioned none.
He mentioned two. So two of them went on to the actual register, one of those being his constituency office, which he owns. So, for example, the different excuses. When it came to the RAS contracts, the rental accommodation scheme contracts, he said he didn't declare those as they were a contract directly between him and the renter, even though the council actually pays him for that, and they're the ones who fund that. On the HAP scheme, as I said, that doesn't actually have to be declared, and Zippo has said that in the past. So that raises further questions about should that be changed, and are there other TDs in the Dáil who are renting out properties under the HAP scheme who maybe aren't declaring it? And I wouldn't be entirely surprised if there are other TDs who are hastily preparing amended statements now to go into SIPO. And as you say, the document is fairly straightforward, and this was, I think, the key question that Brian Dobson put yesterday. It clearly says that you have to declare all of your interests within the calendar year, 1st of January to the end of December, in which you have an interest. So, for example, Robert Troy his excuse as to why he didn't declare the house that he flipped within 3 months, as it occurred all between one calendar year. And his understanding was you only had to declare properties that you had an interest in as of the 31st of December of that particular year. So he was taking it on the basis that I need to declare what I have on this particular day, being the last day of the year, rather than the full day. And it was put to him, look, it's very clear here. It says your interests for the entire year. And he basically said he didn't do his due diligence. And Dobson put it to him several times, did you actually read the form properly? While he didn't say it directly, it seemed that he did not.
It seems in this that if it was, let us imagine, that he had an apartment back in the boom time and ended up unable to sell it, and as so many around the country, ended up being an involuntary landlord, and maybe he therefore didn't think about it and it was an oversight. But surely if you've got 11 properties, that is a significant chunk of your professional life. It seems extraordinary that you wouldn't mention it. It also seems extraordinary that you wouldn't mention it in Dáil debates when you go on to discuss matters pertaining to how much support the state gives to renters, some of which is flowing to you through your own properties.
Yeah, it is pretty extraordinary if you are getting money from a particular scheme that you were speaking on that you wouldn't mention it. And again, the Irish Times this morning reports on a number of parliamentary questions that Robert Choy put during his lifetime in the Dáil on how long it takes to approve HAP applications, and asking the minister why it's taking 8 weeks. And we now know, of course, for the first time that he is benefiting from the HAP scheme and he is getting payments under that. And you see it fairly regularly in Dáil debates. It happened a lot during COVID, for example, when TDs like the Healy Rays come to example, who have interests in pubs, were speaking on pubs being closed or open or other things that were going to affect them financially. But to be fair to them, at the start of the speech, they would say, look, I have a conflict of interest here. I own a pub, but here is my opinion. As someone who works in the industry, that's a fairly common thing to do. Yet Robert Choy obviously didn't feel the need to. And it seems that the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste don't have any particular issue with that either, because they are still backing him as of last night and don't see any problem in what he did.
And he has said now that he is willing to make a statement to the Dáil on this matter. And that's where he is going to speak next about it. And that is, of course, what, 3 weeks away. And one imagines that he is hoping that it will have gone very stale over that period. Roisin Chortle, joint leader of the Social Democrats and TD for Dublin North West, is with us. Is he right, Roisin Chortle? Will we all have forgotten about this by the time the Dáil reconvenes?
Good morning, Anton. I don't think we will, and I don't think we can wait until then either. This issue is unfolding by the day. I mean, it started 2 weeks ago. At that stage, it looked like there was a single error made in a declaration. And at that point, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste, you know, gave their full support to Robert Troy. But of course, the situation has changed very much over the last 2 weeks, and every day brings new revelations. And indeed, Robert Troy's interview yesterday provided a lot of additional information that nobody knew about. And, you know, Sean has outlined that in detail. So there's been a litany of errors and failures to comply with, you know, various regulations and comply with declarations required of a public representative. So the question is, I mean, should there be any consequences for that or not? Or is it okay for somebody to come out, put their hands up, say mea culpa, I'm embarrassed, and then everybody, you know, forgets about it? I don't think that's acceptable. And I think, you know, there is a question mark here about the standards that a public representative is adhering to. And, you know, the standards aren't especially onerous, I have to say. And that declaration that we have to fill in every year is pretty straightforward. And it requires, you know, a certain level of due diligence. But that's an important thing. We do this on an annual basis every January, and we need to be very careful about that and ensure that, you know, the details we provide are accurate. So it's not about one error. There's a litany of errors that he has made in relation to the declaration of interests. But then there's a whole lot of other things as well. There's, you know, the failure to declare a conflict of interest before speaking in the Dáil. There's now question marks about planning and about fire safety certs. And like a whole lot of things there that shows that he was at best, you know, negligent in relation to complying with various regulations. But, you know, given the role that he has as Minister of State in the Department of Enterprise with responsibility for company regulation, is it acceptable? Is this an acceptable standard for a Minister of State to set? Like, you know, can that excuse of, oh, I'm embarrassed, I didn't, you know, look at it properly, or I'm sorry, I didn't fill in the form properly, is that going to be an acceptable excuse then for people who are responsible for regulating?
Well, you mentioned companies regulation. Do you put any stock in what he's saying? Because reading between the lines, it seems that the suggestion is that he treated it like one would an audit, that it is a snapshot of a point in time taken today, this is where I stand, and that maybe if that's what he is used to doing, he simply didn't pay enough attention to the form and it was human error and a simple oversight.
But Anton, I'm making the point that it's not just one error that was made. We didn't find out until yesterday that he actually has an interest in 11 different properties. And this goes back actually 10 years. It's not a once-off mistake that was made. And then there are all of the other things as well, the conflict of interest, failure to declare that in the Dáil, and all these additional questions now that are arising in relation to fire safety cert. So it shows at best that he was extremely lax in the way he did business. He didn't declare an interest in fully declare all his properties. He didn't declare company directorships. So it's a whole lot of things, a failure on a whole lot of different fronts. And as I say, that raises the question then, is this an acceptable standard for a Minister of State, and particularly given the role that he has in the Department of Enterprise? So, like, this comes back really to, I don't think it's, first of all, I absolutely don't think it's an acceptable standard. But, you know, bearing in mind that the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste have more or less given him their imprimatur in relation to the standards he's adhering to, the question now is, you know, a question of judgment on the part of the Taoiseach. Is this an acceptable standard? Does the Taoiseach believe that this is an acceptable standard?
So what do you think, Roisin Shortall, he should do now?
Well, I believe that his position is becoming increasingly untenable. And I think, as I say,
in other words, you believe he should quit?
I believe it should be dealt with by the Taoiseach. And, you know, this raises questions about the judgment of the Taoiseach. And I think it's up to the Taoiseach now to state whether he believes that this is an acceptable standard by which a Minister of State...
But that only leads one way, Roisin Shortall. I mean, we know that this is not the first time we have seen issues like that. They either go away or they end with somebody demanding or offering a resignation.
It's going away, Anton. It's not going away, and each day brings new questions. So the Taoiseach really needs to step in. It's a huge distraction at a very critical time in relation to the build-up to the budget, the huge problems in relation to cost of living, energy prices, all of those things. And, you know, the Cabinet needs to be concentrating on these issues. And there are huge distractions now as a result of Robert Troy's litany of mistakes.
And what do you make of Sean Defoe's suggestion that there may be a lot of your colleagues across the Dáil who will be scrambling to update their declarations?
That may be the case, but I mean, we shouldn't be in this situation, Anton. That, I mean, the bigger question here is the kind of regulatory framework covering politicians. And, you know, the Standards and Public Office is the body that is responsible for that in theory, but it's supposed to be the watchdog, but it's a watchdog with very few teeth. And I'm not blaming the Standards and Public Office Commission at all for this, because they have, over the past almost 20 years, tried to draw attention to the shortcomings in their powers. You know, their report for 2021 came out earlier this month. There are pages and pages of recommendations for change in that, going back to 2003. And in relation to the Ethics Act, SIPO have looked for additional 18 powers, or they have drawn attention to 18 areas where they require additional powers to do their job properly. In relation to the Electoral Act, they've drawn attention to 32 areas where they need additional powers. And in each one of those, there has been no progress whatsoever. So this, again, is an issue, I believe, that the Taoiseach needs to address urgently. You know, there have been pleas over the last 19 years for additional powers for the watchdog.
Indeed,
successive governments have failed to do that.
It'll be interesting to see if this functions
the most
as the catalyst
issue
for that.
Now.
Roisin Shorthall, thank you very much. That is Roisin Shorthall, Joint Leader of the Social Democrats and TD for Dublin North West. Sean Defoe, to go back to you for a small bit of clairvoyance. Robert Troy's bet that he will get 3 weeks of time before he has to deal with this publicly by dealing with it when the Dáil returns. Do you think that's going to work?
No, I can't say I do. I think that was incredibly wishful thinking. If he thinks he's going to get 3 weeks, it's going to be more examination over the last while. Actually, look, all he has to do is look at past summers that we have had in terms of how these things are handled. It used to be the case in the media that you would get a minister for August who would come out quite regularly and be out to answer questions in order to bolster their own opinion. The last few years, we've had the resignations of August. 2 years ago, 2020, it was Golfgate. Last year, it was obviously Marion Gate and Zapongate when she stepped aside from that special envoy role. And I think at this stage, you'd have to think we're at the gates of Troy.
Sean Defoe, thank you so much. Sean Defoe, News Talk political correspondent. Now we'll take the opportunity to try to win you some money.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.